and nobody can believe that it's him. They can't believe it's him. They asked their dad and their mother, said, is it him? They said, he's of age, ask him. They asked the neighbors, and the neighbors looked at him and said, well, I don't know if that's him or if it just looks like him. And he said, it is I know it is him. And they knew him by his voice. This doorkeeper knew Peter's voice was not one of them. Now later the Apostle Peter gets the Holy Ghost and becomes the voice of deliverance for all the saints. And this same man has had a change in his heart so that now he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak. He become the voice for the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You've got to recognize that voice if you're going to be saved. That is the voice of God. Unto you I give the keys to the kingdom. If you can, if that is the voice that opens the door. You have to receive this in order to have access to him. Is this making sense tonight? Peter's voice now got him in trouble as he preached about the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere he went. And he finds himself, as Brother Valentine just taught us Sunday, he finds himself in this inner prison. And now Peter, they're praying for Peter's deliverance. They're at Mary's house, which is John's mother. They're a group of people. And the Bible says they were praying continually that Peter might be released out of prison. Because he's in the jail. Peter uses his voice again to sing hymns and praises unto God. And that voice released him. It's like the lady that received the Holy Ghost. I heard Brother Chris telling her, you have to say it. You have to speak up. You have to vocalize it. And so let me show you this. Acts 12:12. And when he had considered the thing, that's what had happened, Paul and Silas, you know, are in jail, or Peter's in jail at this moment, and there they are in jail. He is in jail in the inner court, and he considered the thing, how the jailhouse was open and they're free, and he comes to Mary's house. Watch. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And then Peter knocked at the door of the gate. And guess what? There's another damsel there. It's this deja vu. It's amazing how when you fail one test, you have to take the test over. Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Now, watch this. This is very interesting because the last time Peter was at the door, the damsel says, I know your voice. I don't know your voice. I don't know. That voice doesn't sound familiar to me. And now Miss Rhoda knows his voice. She knows that this is Peter. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And the very thing they had been praying for was at the door, and she got so excited about it that she didn't even open the door. My. She didn't see him, but she heard him. She said, I don't know him by his knock. I know him by his voice. And she got so excited because she said, I know that voice. He's out of prison. Oh, praise God. She's going bananas, shouting. And so much they said, she's mad. What's wrong? Calm down. She didn't have to see him. She knew by the voice that was him. Through faith, she believed that her prayers had been answered. But let me tell you, if you don't open the door, then you can shout all you want to. You can proclaim victory all you want to. But if you don't open the door, you never receive what you have believed. And too many people say, I believe that's the right way, and never open the door. My, my, my. Rhoda began to shout and act like she was crazy. And while she was shouting, the very thing she was praying for, stood outside the door. And I am afraid this spirit of Rhoda got into the church a long time ago. A spirit where people shout about what they believe rather than shouting about what they have received. You can preach a sermon about how you're going to get out of debt and all that, and you'll see people cutting the rug. But unless you open the door, you're still going to be broke. The shout comes when you receive. How many ever seen a football game? You thought it was over. Let me tell you, never shout. Never shout till time expires. Now, when time expires, the shouting can begin. But I've seen many times people, oh, we got this in the back. We're ahead by 20 points. You know, we're going to win. What? Another touchdown? What? They fumbled the ball? What? They made a field goal? What? And then for long, you know, you did this emotional thing. Here's what I'm trying to teach you. You did this emotional high, and now you're at an emotional low. Wait until the game is over, and then you can shout all you want to. When it is in the bags, as they say, and you have the victory, then. But if you're not careful, you'll shout about every sermon and never receive what's preached about. You have to receive it in order to legitimately shout about it. And too many times I think we've shouted about a blessing that we never received. We shouted about a financial thing we never received. We shouted about our kids coming home and never opened the door for the kids to come home. My, my, my. My, my, my. This spirit of Rhoda we have to be careful of. Amen. Prayer about something that we want, and we get it to the door, and then we don't open the door for the very thing that we're praying for. My, my, my. As they come tonight, don't shout about what you believe. Shout about what you receive. Shout about what you receive. I'm telling you, when that little girl got the Holy Ghost, that's shouting material for me. The Bible says the angels in heaven, they shout when they think somebody's going to repent. They shout when they believe somebody's going to repent. They shout when someone has repented. Let's get the shout in order, and then it'll last. It'll last, and you won't be up and down and up and down and up and down. When the victory and the battle is over, there's plenty of time for shouting, plenty of time for dancing. Watch this, Acts 12:15. Finish it up. And when they said unto her, thou art mad, speaking of Rhoda, but she constantly affirmed, I am telling you that it was even so. And they said, you saw an angel. Why is it the thing we prayed for now we can't believe? The very thing they prayed for is at the door and someone's saying, I know that voice. It is him. No, it ain't gonna happen. No. Why are you praying about it then? Why are you praying about it if you're not going to receive it? And so many times it's at the door. I'm here to tell somebody that what you've been praying for is at the door. It may not look like you want it to look, but let me tell you, you'll know that voice. It's at the door. Get up and open the door. My, my, my. It's an angel. No, but Peter continued knocking. Hey, may I come in? Hey, it's me, I'm Peter. And when they had opened the door and saw him, well, what do you know? This is what we prayed for. Well, what do you know? Look, it's him. They were all astonished. I know that God never ceases to amaze us. I realize that, but you should expect what you pray for. If you pray and expect that to happen and open the door and say, Peter, I've been expecting you just anymore. We're so glad you're here. Come on in. But he beckoning unto them with the hand don't hold their peace. He said, just wait a minute. Declared unto them how the Lord, listen, wait a minute, I'm here, but let me tell you how I got here. Woo. How the Lord hath brought him out of the prison. And some people are praying for things to come out of bondage in their life, whether it be a healing or suffering or whatever you're going through. You need to get, if the Lord will get the credit, he'll bring you out. Peter said, wait a minute, I know I'm here, but let me tell you how I got here. It was the Lord. And he said, go shew these things unto James. Be a witness. Be a witness. This rejoicing is good, but let's be a witness to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? My. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that what you've been praying for is behind the door. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm nigh even at the door. If any man hear my voice, I know the knocking's good and the standing is good, but it's the voice means I'm there. Then open the door and I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Can I give you one more thing? One more thing. This is a misnomer. Hold your place there. Give me one more minute. You can turn there on your own time. 2 Samuel 6 and 12. 2 Samuel 6 and 12 through 17. Let's do it real quick. See, many times I hear people, they talk about how David shouted with all of his might. He danced with all of his might. And he did. But let me tell you the story before I read it. David had done wrong. He created a new cart to replace the labor of the Levites from having to carry it. And in my mind, I think David was such a people person. He said, you know, I hate to make everybody labor. So let's just, it wasn't, I think he was really compassionate is why he did that. But the Lord didn't say do it. So the Lord struck Uzziah, died because he touched the cart, the ark, which you couldn't do. And David was, the Bible said David was afraid of God that day. And he looked around and said, what can I do with this thing? And he saw Obed-Edom's house. And he pulled the ark into Obed-Edom's house. And he left. He was distraught. But he heard how Obed-Edom was so blessed. His Rhode Island roosters were laying double yokers every time. I mean, everything that he did was being blessed. And he said, you know what? I'm missing out on the blessings of the Lord. I need to repent and go back and do my first works over and go back and get this thing right because I want the blessings of the Lord in my life. I had it and I lost it. I want it again. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to live without the blessings of the Lord. And so he goes back. And he takes it the old way. And he puts the Levites in the, and they put the staves between the rings. And they lift that thing up. David's watching. He's watching. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's been preached umpteen times. I'm not faulting anybody. But I've heard it umpteen times. And they took 6 paces. Every 6 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. Do you know how far Obed-Edom's house was from the city of David? Miles. Miles. So if every 6 steps they said, hey, give me another oxen. You know how many oxen they'd have had to have? Lord, they'd had to have a slew of cattle with them and oxen to offer all these sacrifices for every 6 steps. And David would have been one tired dude by the time he got there if he danced with all of his might every 6 paces. He'd have been exhausted. The truth of the story is when the Ark of the Covenant had come through the door, through the gate of the city, then he said, I got the victory now. I got it home now, baby. It's mine now. Set that thing where we want it out. And he began to shout with all of his might when he received it into the city. Now, watch it because some of y'all are going to be doubting me. 2 Samuel 6:12. And it was told the king, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Period. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it, got it back where it belonged. And David then offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I hope that makes sense to you. Hallelujah. When you get what God wants you to have and you've got the victory, it's time to shout it out. Hallelujah. The victory when you finally get it through the door. Hallelujah. And I'm not faulting anybody, but that's my view on it, and I'm sticking to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? The voice behind the door. Hallelujah. The day you hear it, harden not your heart. Open the door. Hallelujah. Clap your hands with us tonight. Sing this song.
Giving you glory, giving you honor. No words could ever express, so I'm lifting my hands.
Give you one more point on that. If you look, the 6 paces was how long the staves were in the Ark of the Covenant. When you walked it out, it was 6 paces. So that when it cleared the gate of the city, it had cleared into the city of David. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The victory's yours, 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 yours. It's all of ours. He's behind the door, and he's got a voice saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and bring your burdens and cast them upon me, for I care for you." He loves you. He's behind the door. How long does he have to knock? It's not when you hear the knocking. It's when you hear the voice. Open the door.